Today on Real Life Radio.
Your body was created by God, but you may be one walking around this world and you don't have any desire whatsoever to live your life for God. But I just want you to know something, and this will ruin your life for the rest of your life. Your body doesn't belong to you. You've stolen it. You've commandeered your body from God. He made you. You belong to Him.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Theology and Me, Part 1, continues his series called The Why Series. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that we were made in God's image, but as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives? God has a plan and a purpose for everything that He does, and that includes us. When sin entered the world, we became destructive and aimless. Even religion became a drudgery. But God knew all along that we would go against His plan, and He chose to be merciful, so much so that He sent His Son Jesus to be our Savior, who through His love and grace gave us a reason to live. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God imparts to us the breath of life, but if we allow the body to be in charge, the soul is going to follow the body and whatever the body wants in that moment. But when our spirit is in charge, the soul will follow after the spirit, and all that is eternal. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
One of the first things we'll look at right now with just the time remaining is the fact that obviously, friends, listen, we'll see in the next few weeks, but we'll start now with this one, is that we are, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. By the way, I love saying this. I am assuming, can I just assume this right now, please? Can I just pretend that all of you are non-believers right now? Okay? I had a chance to do this once in Moscow, Russia in 1993. It was a blast. I loved it. So just indulge me for a moment. If you don't believe in the Bible, that's okay. Listen to this. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that man is a trichotomy. It doesn't use the word trichotomy. It says, by the way, listen to this. It says it this way. And note the order of it. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, watch, notice the order that God puts it in. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the order of that. When you and I talk about this, we always say what? What comes first when we talk about it? Body, soul, and spirit. Right, because you know what? That's our native tongue. That's our native language. That's our native affection. What? Body. Body first. See, that's the problem with us in being far from God and our theology and who we are. The Bible doesn't put the body first. The Bible puts the spirit first. And that's a powerful declaration. There's no doubt about it. But is it true? Body, soul, and spirit. So listen, none of us believe this, right? We're all doubters and skeptics. We're all atheists or whatever. The Bible happens to say that we are made up of a spirit and a soul and a body. If that's true, is there evidence for that? There's absolute evidence for that. First of all, physically, the body, as I said a moment ago, but let's look at it this way. Look at, again, Genesis 2:7. Look at it carefully. Genesis 2, verse 7. And the Lord God, number one, watch this. And the Lord God. Okay, so God is the producer. God's the engineer. He's the designer. Number one, formed. This is amazing. The word means to shape or to craft. I know I'm talking about your lofty station in the creation of God, the human. God says, I crafted you. Think about Adam being shaped. He molded him. Could God have spoke Adam into existence? Yes. Of course, he spoke Jupiter into existence. Listen, this is fun. He spoke the universes, plural, into existence. He made the animals. It didn't say he spoke them in, but he could have. Maybe he did. Why didn't he speak Adam into existence? He crafted Adam. He crafted Eve. He made them. He shaped them. The word means he shaped them. That's why there's something special. I don't have it. But there's something special about a person who crafts these. Is it Da Vinci or Michelangelo who crafts these statues, these images? David, the famous David, or these great sculptures where there's a creative work of it. God, listen, God did that with Adam and Eve. Remarkable. Man, it says, shaped him, crafted him, formed him of the dust of the ground. That's physical. Genesis 2 goes on in verse 7, and look at this. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Okay, all of a sudden, okay, look, we have Adam, he's physical, purely and only physical. He's there, laying down, right? I guess he's laying down, made out of the dirt. He's laying there. How did God do this? I don't know how he did it, but it doesn't say, and it was as though God breathed his, no, it doesn't say that. It says God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Somehow God in his spirit, listen, God is spirit. Isn't that sometimes creepy to think? We relate to God through Jesus. We see Jesus, but that's because God became incarnate. God took on flesh so you could relate to him. So God would have a face for us to commune with. But the Bible says God is spirit. It's impossible to explain that. Again, C.S. Lewis says that God is more of a mind than he is anything else. Think of that. But that mind became physical in Jesus. So somehow God breathed into Adam by way of his nostrils the breath of life. God imparts the breath of life. Today, you are who you are. But little do you stop to pause to recognize that you're breathing right now. The breath of God is given, think of it, to every single human being that's alive right now, even the one that is cursing and cussing God out. That person's doing it, and God's paying the bill. Taking the breath that God gives, and he's cursing God. James talks about that, doesn't he? We bless one person, or we bless God. Turn around. On someone else. Thank you, God. Love you, God. Turn around. You bite your wife. Thank you, God. Love you, God. Turn around. Bite your kids. God looks at that just, oh, no. But that verse goes on, and man became a living being. Some of your Bibles have the word, rightfully so, and man became a living what? Soul. It's all right there, by the way. Do you see that? His physical body's there. That's you. God breathed. Adam came alive. And Adam became a living soul. Body, soul, and spirit. The breath comes from God, the spirit. The soul is housed in this physical. The soul is your mind. We'll talk about that in later days, but I want you to think about this, and we got started so late tonight. That's on me. But I want you to just ponder this for a moment. In John 1, verse 4, the Bible says, and in him, that is in Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's an interesting statement because you can't have life. Listen, you can't have life without the breath of life. But according to the Bible, the breath of life is given by Jesus. That breath this is kind of fun, that breath given by God illuminates or gives you ability to think, soul. God gives you life. Listen, you're made out of dirt, you and I. God breathes into you life, you're living, but at this moment you don't know God. But you know this, God's a problem in your life. Isn't that interesting? See, I don't believe in God. You're a physical, living creation of God. You have a mind that's thinking. You have a body that works. And inside, as we mentioned on Sunday, you have a struggle with God. Think of the evidence of that. Jesus, the Bible says, is that light. He's that candle burning of awareness in you. Every one of us tonight are aware. We have an awareness of God. And it animates our physical being. But predominantly, just for tonight, you are physical. God made you this way. And I want you to just ponder the reality of that. That you are this person. I'm not talking personality. I'm not talking about anything other. I'm not talking about eternity. I'm talking about this body. According to the scripture, this body was made for this world. The Bible says this body cannot go to the next world. Right? 1 Corinthians 15 tells us this body's got to be changed. And is it possible for a body to be changed? Remember, we don't believe in God. We're a bunch of skeptics tonight. Can you change the molecular structure of something? Well, theoretically, you can. There's some things you can do, for sure. But as you think about your body tonight, your body was created by God, but you may be one walking around this world and you don't have any desire whatsoever to live your life for God, but I just want you to know something, and this will ruin your life for the rest of your life. Your body doesn't belong to you. You've stolen it. You've commandeered your body from God. He made you. You belong to Him. And that's why you're living your life the way that you do, and it affects the way that you think. And you can't separate these things out. You are the totality of this body, soul, and spirit. But the Bible says to us clearly that man's problem is that he's spiritually dead. And look, I'll end with this because this Bible study is a mess already this week. So I said a moment ago that we in our culture, in our thinking, we always say body, soul, and spirit. God says spirit, soul, and body. Do you see when you read that, the correlation? There's something's in the middle. What is it? Soul. And I want you to think about this. Your body, if your body's in charge, that is, if you're not living for God, you're living for your body. Everything you do about life is for your body. I want that. I want this. I want that. I want to sit there. I want this. I'm there. It's all about, what do I get? It's body, 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 body. And we live in an age when that's just turbocharged, is it not? Man, body, body, body. Soul, the soul's in the middle. Soul. When the body's in charge, the soul. Watchman Nee, if you ever read the book, The Spiritual Man, you gotta read it. Watchman Nee, N-E-E, The Spiritual Man. Watchman Nee says something brilliant. He says, when the body's in charge and the body appetites, the soul makes all the decisions and all of the plans to satisfy the body appetites. That's what the soul does. Who's in charge? The body. What does the soul do? Let's make some plans. Let's think. Let's satisfy these appetites of the body. Yoo-hoo! And the soul follows the lead of the body. That's why, we use terms like, that's animalistic. But when the spirit is made anew, when the spirit is, what the Bible says, is born again, then the spirit's in charge. And when the Spirit's in charge, the soul follows the Spirit. That's why Watchman Nee says the soul of every man is the mistress. Think of it. Whoever's in charge, he said, will lead the soul. That's why the soul's in the middle every time. Body, 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 body. The soul makes plans to satisfy the body. Oh, I can use her. She can make me happy. Oh, I can use him. I can get something from that. Oh, I can go there because then I will. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? Yes. You're body driven and the soul makes the plans. But when the Spirit is alive, when you're made alive, the soul goes with the things of God. And David says, my soul thirst for thee, O God. Amen. Does your soul thirst for God? I hope so. Someone's in charge of you. That's for sure. Someone's in charge of me. That's for sure. Someone's in charge. And the soul just gets in line and says, let's do this. The question is what, right? Vitally important. We'll do the study all over again someday. Can't do it next week, but listen, where are you though in this? Where are you? Let's pray together right now, and maybe tonight you need to just be honest with God, huh? Father, we come to you, and Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you'd make sense of all this evening for these precious ones here, for all of us, Lord, and the true fact of the matter is we would confess tonight that our body appetites, you made them. I mean, those are real. You've put it within us to want air and food and sex and comfort, and that's from you, but it's out of order. We've put it out of order. And Lord, I pray tonight for any man or woman tonight that's hearing these words and it's making some sense to them, and they're just saying, you know what, that's all I do is think about me. Father, will you show them tonight a more excellent way? Your way? To have a life that is literally, joyfully consumed with the thoughts of others? What a happy life that is. What a joy. To get our eyes off of ourselves. It's so unfulfilling. We can get all the money in the world. We can get all the power in the world. What shall it profit a man? He gains the whole world, loses his own soul. Tonight, my dear friend, maybe for you now, it's the night for you to make a change. You've grabbed everything you could grab in this life and you're still not satisfied. Guess what? You'll never be satisfied. You were not designed to be satisfied by the things of this world. They're just sugar-coated. It's all veneer, the whole thing, all of it. It's like a firework. You've been standing, you've been waiting. It happens. And that's it? Yeah, that's it. But tonight the Lord would invite you to come alive. Maybe tonight, friend, wherever you may be, you would ask Jesus tonight to come and take over your life. The God that has created you, the God that has given you life, the God that has allow you to this moment to even be and to breathe, has afforded that for you tonight. But tonight you'd be saying, Lord, I want you to come into my life and transform me. I may not have understood or got everything that was being said tonight, but I got some of that stuff, and that is true. I may not even like it, but it's true. Right now, right where you're at, wherever you're at, tell God now, that you agree with him, that you have sinned against this holy, amazing, awesome God, this pure, righteous light, this perfect love, this lover of your soul, Almighty God. And you would agree with him tonight and you would say, Lord, I do agree that my sins were with Jesus on that cross 2,000 years ago. I see where God was dying in my place on the cross. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And you would say to God tonight, Lord, receive me into your kingdom life. Receive me into your family. I've lived for me. It's all about me. It's always been about me. I'm done. I want purpose. I want meaning. I want you. And you would tell him that right now, right where you're at. Father, we love you. We praise you. And God, as a people, we pray that you would do an amazing thing in our nation. We pray that you would do an amazing thing. Lord, the world is hurting. We see all that. We know all that. Church, let's stand together as we pray. Father, we see that there's people wounded and people fearful and people doubting. And God, we pray that you would descend and fall upon, Lord, your church in California, your church in America. And Lord, that there'd be a great awakening of your Holy Spirit upon your people. And God, we've always prayed that if you're going to do that, that you'd start with us. Father, that you'd move here with us, move in our hearts, move in our lives, move in our homes, in our marriages, with our children. God, that you would start with us. And Father God, that you would surprise us. Come down, Lord, and be among us. We need your healing. We need your touch. And Father, we lift up tonight, in closing, we lift up every family, friend, relative, coworker that doesn't know you. Jesus, that you'd save them, move. God, get their attention even tonight, no matter where they might be. Lord, awaken them. Cause them to think God thoughts. Cause them, Lord, to hurry up. This ball, as it were, this world is coming to a dramatic end. And that they would sense the desperation of the moment. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you'd move. And God, may we set our hearts on Sunday as we approach. May we invite men and women, boys and girls, come and hear the word of God, to know the love of God, or to tell them straight up, Jesus loves you. God's coming back. Christ died for you. He's alive. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. He's Christ. He's Lord. So Father God, we close now. We pray. We lift. We worship. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Theology and Me, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. Theology and Me, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world, and will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, God built into our DNA the desire to know the future. People spend millions each year on psychics and fortune tellers just to see what's going to happen next. The sad thing is, they're wasting their time and money, especially when the Bible is full of prophecies that God wants us to know all about. The future is in God's hands, and for the Christ follower, our eternity in heaven is secure. If you'd like to learn more about Bible prophecy and how it relates to current events in your life, well, we'd like to invite you to our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab that says Happening Now, and there you'll find some Facebook events that were live and that are now available for you to watch anytime and anywhere. Again, that's the Happening Now Facebook episodes. They're at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.